Jen Hamblin has purple plastic gloves on and a long black apron. She's shucking blue mussels, the kind you might find served in a seafood restaurant.
I love chowder. I must say my appetite for raw shellfish has decreased since I began this position.
Hamblin is a fisheries biologist for the Sitka tribe of Alaska. She scrapes the meat off the shells into a little white bowl. When she has at least 100 grams worth of blue mussel meat, she empties the bowl into a blender. She sets the timer for 3 minutes and turns it on high.
The fancy word for that is called homogenization. But shellfish smoothies is the other term we like to use.
The tribe started blending up shellfish and testing them in the lab because of the growing concern over paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP, a sometimes fatal illness caused by toxins in algae.
People want to know, can we go out? Is it safe or is it not? Because it is an easy subsistence resource to harvest here. There's shellfish everywhere.
Michael Jamros directs the tribe's research lab, which opened last year.
When I showed up a year ago, the lab was basically a bunch of boxes, and I pretty much had to go from there ordering the rest of supplies and getting the lab set up.
It's all set up and fully functioning now. That's a good thing, since a study published last month reports that since 1997, the annual production of algae in the Arctic has risen by nearly 50%. Chris Whitehead, the environmental program manager for the tribe, says warmer ocean temperatures make for better breeding grounds for toxins.
Just like your garden, you know, if you water it and it's warm and sunny out and you give it fertilizer, everything does really well. It's the same with these vegetative cells in the marine system, too.
That's why their weekly tests are so important, Whitehead says. And now more than a dozen other tribes in the region are also testing for toxins.
Communities like Wrangell and Ketchikan and Juneau and Yakutat and Hoonah.
People are out digging all the time.
Ian Johnson is the environmental coordinator for the Hoonah Indian Association.
If I was to just guess, I would say over 50% of the community consume clams, maybe probably more, might be 70-80%.
Three people died in 2010 from paralytic shellfish poisoning, including one from Hoonah, and others have gotten sick since. That's why Johnson says people are eager for his weekly test results, which he started in October. But soon he ran into a problem. People have different names for the same clams. Take Pacific little neck clams. Some people call them steamer clams. Others, Johnson says, just differentiate between edible and inedible clams. So he published an online survey about shellfish names.
I was just trying to tap into sort of this local basin knowledge and try to understand what people call these different species of clams so that I can communicate the results better with them.
Johnson released results from the survey online and continues testing the water for toxins each week. If levels are unsafe, Johnson can send in shellfish samples to get blended up and tested in Sitka. The batch of mussels in the blender right now is from Petersburg, a community 90 miles east of Sitka. They were flown in just this morning. After 3 minutes, the mixture is then run through a series of tests to determine if the mussels in Petersburg are safe to harvest. Shellfish samples are flown in from other tribes almost every week, which helps fisheries biologist Jen Hamblin iron out the kinks in the lab. Outside of the lab is a different story.
A problem we encountered today is that there's frozen mussels on the beaches right now. So we'll have to look at how to do sampling in Southeast Alaska when we have cold snaps like the one we're experiencing now.
She may not be eating much raw shellfish herself, but Hamblin has an appetite to get it right, because the one variable that won't change is the local demand to know whether the fruits of the sea are safe to eat. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Russell.